Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
If we're willing to associate with extraordinary human beings, we have to reverse engineer and make sure we understand that in order for us to attract extraordinary human beings, we must first be an extraordinary human being. And that's what motivates me. I don't have to be the best version of myself at the end of my life. I have to be the best version of myself right now. It's like ordering an Uber ride that requires that you enter in your current location. And if you lie about where you are, the directions won't work. So where are you right now?
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. He's an international thought leader, master motivator, and one of the top most sought-after speakers on planet Earth. He was inducted into the National Speakers Hall of Fame in 2005 and is the storyteller, changing the world one story at a time with his unbelievable combination of both humor and inspiration. He's a New York Times bestselling author, and he's written a couple of books, 37 to be exact, no big deal. He's the primary contributor to the iconic Chicken Soup for the Soul. He's a musical force, gold record songwriter, award-winning athlete, and phenomenal husband and father to his children. He's one of the greatest teachers of our time, taking people from where they are to where they want to be. His mindset and faith is absolutely bulletproof. He's just an overall juggernaut in all facets of life and a terrific human being. Please welcome the legendary and powerful, dynamic Dan Clark. How you doing, Dan?
You do, baby. All right, Craig. That's got to be the best introduction I've ever had. I need to get that recording and just play it to my wife every night before we go to bed.
Oh, man. You wrote it. It's your life.
You're bad. It's fun. You know, I think one thing I've learned from you, you know, is kind of fresh friends, but you're a world-class coach. And your focus on the whole being, on being the very best version of yourself, that really matters. And obviously, if you and I are going to take the stage and have any credibility at all, it's not enough for us to just practice what we preach. We must preach only what we practice. And there's a huge difference there that you epitomize. And I would hope with humility, I could throw my hat on the same stage with you. I want to repeat that. It's not enough for us to just practice what we preach, which everybody says. We must preach only what we practice so people see what we're saying.
That was gripping. Dynamic Dan's got gems and we're only 1 minute in. I've never heard that articulated like that, but now that it's been exposed to my ears, it's absolutely, let me just repeat that. Not practice what we preach. Preach what we practice. Audience, grab the journal, grab a pen, and rewind that and jot that down.
And what that does, my friend, is it inspires us to take it to the next level every day, not because it's expected by others, but because it's demanded of ourselves. Where, you know, the old, I don't want to be a role model, you know, don't put pressure on me. No, when someone says, I need you to be a role model, that should be a positive inspiration to say, yeah, I need to walk on higher ground. You know, I'm a storyteller. Do you mind if I interrupt and just share an experience?
Please.
So I'm with my family in Maui, Hawaii, many years ago. We're at the Kaanapali Ali'i condos. I had a condo there. And growing up, my dad always told me to identify the thoroughbreds of my generation and keep in touch. That's why it's such an honor to meet you. No such thing as a coincidence. We're going to do huge things together and bring in our hero, our mentor, Dave Meltzer, and your assistant, Jessica, and everybody else that's important to us in our lives. And because my dad said, identify the thoroughbreds of your generation, of my generation, he also said, when you run into one of them, make sure before they exit that you ask them what they learned that day, and to teach you something, some nugget of wisdom that they had never known before, or as a reminder that we need to take ourselves to the next level. And I've obeyed that advice from my dad. That's why, you know, Craig, tell me what's going on. Teach me. Every time we're together, I want you to elevate me like all of your followers, like everybody who tunes into your podcast. And we don't need huge wisdom. We just need nuggets of wisdom that we can immediately apply. So I'm sitting in the hot tub. My family's in the pool. And all of a sudden, onto the pool deck walks a couple, Jim and Naomi Rohde. Both had been former presidents of the National Speakers Association. And I called her Mother Teresa. She was just one of those people. Dear friends, hey, how you doing? I got out of the hot tub. How you doing? And I said, teach me. What have you learned today? And she said her and her husband started a company called Samantadonics. And it was about a $20 million a year company that manufactured supplies for dental offices. And they would conduct seminars in Maui at least one a month for dentists and their entire office staff. And they've been doing it for 20 years. And she said her and her husband were walking down the beach that day, holding hands, talking about the thousands of people's lives that they had touched in their seminars. And she said she turned and looked over her shoulder and she saw their footprints on the beach, their footprints in the sand. And she commented to her husband as a woman of faith, wow, look at the footprints we've left in the hands of those whom we've served. We're doing the right thing. And she said, just then the ocean came crashing into the beach and it danced long enough in that whitewater dance to wipe clean the beach, leaving no sign that they'd ever walked there. And as the ocean retreated back to the sea, the beach was blank, no footprints. And Naomi Rohde said her heart sank and she says to her husband, whoa, how can we leave a more long-lasting difference in the lives of those whom we serve? And flippantly, her husband, Jim, said, walk on higher ground. What a great story. True story. But it's about the CLS experience, is it not? It's about friendship and professional relationships with people like you, Craig. So again, this is an honor. And I take great pride in calling you my friend.
Thank you so much, brother. And right back at you, I'll receive all that. And first of all, you have a gift for storytelling. I know I'm not the first or probably millionth person to tell you that, but it's just so captivating. I'm just moved. And also the story is great. And I love where it landed, like higher ground. Yeah, because of the sand, but also like in real life. And it's an honor to be here with you today. I'm such a fan. And also like, this is just the beginning of our relationship. And this is a really interesting dynamic that I don't think the world has quite seen yet. And we could talk about this all day, but we want to give the audience some gems, but we're going to blow the world away with what we got in store. So buckle up, audience.
And before we came on official for this podcast, I said to Craig, come on, man, we're like Batman and Robin. And then I kept going. I said, yeah, it's like Starsky and Hutch. And then, you know, Dave Meltzer, our joint mentor, with his sense of humor, he's going to probably call us Thelma and Louise. But whatever the topic is, we're inseparable as we fight the crimes of the world, baby.
That's it. I love this. And again, the only negative that I have going on is that you and I don't have 10 hours here today. That's about it. Before we get a little bit of an idea for the background, because the audience loves to hear a little bit about the history, we're going to start off and we're going to get a little weird. You ready to get weird, Dan?
I love it, baby. As you would do. Yeah, baby.
What's your superpower?
My ability to make sure everybody leaves me saying, I like me best when I'm with you. I want to see you again. But as a speaker, I learned a long time ago that if I'm nervous before I speak, it's about me. But if I'm excited to speak, it means it's about the audience. Seek to bless, not impress. So my goal is to interact with everyone on the planet, even little kids in an airport who are crying, and I can talk Donald Duck and make them smile a little bit. My MO, my superpower is to make everybody leave me saying, I like me best when I'm with you. I want to see you again. You know, if we as speakers dazzle the audience and they leave impressed with us, we've blown it. But if they leave the room, if they click off the podcast impressed with themselves, then we've talked about the right universal laws and governing principles in an inspirational way, so that when they click off their computer, they actually believe they can do what we have done or that we're in the process of doing.
That's right. Beautifully said. And that's the goal, right? Is to make everyone inspired, to take inspired action, to want them to fulfill their potential and all that. You know, it's interesting. Number one, I'm a diehard fan of yours. So doing homework for this episode was obviously a treat. But also, I want to give you the respect you deserve and find out some cool stuff that a lot of people might not know. And where do I begin, right? Like you've had so many seasons, so many chapters, you've done it all. You've been to space, selling out stadiums, speaking in front of presidents, almost professional athlete, music, all that. What makes you tick? Like what makes you keep on wanting to reach for more?
You always ask such great questions. You know, it's changing the mindset that all of us have been conditioned to believe that Stephen Covey made famous, begin with the end in mind. And I think that's a limiting belief. Begin with the end in mind means that we're forced to focus on a destination that's impressive, do our best to manage people and reward results, which means at the end of our life, all we're going to have is a shelf full of trophies, destinations. But I know so many powerful and wealthy people who are miserable. Wealthy and powerful people who gained the whole world, but in the process, they sold their souls. And because I've had an opportunity to, you know, be wined and dined by presidents and stayed in the palaces of the United Arab Emirates with the Sheikh Nahyan and the royal family. And, you know, you go to my website, Dan Clark Speak. I've really been around everybody you can imagine and interviewed them and have relationships with them. And in that process, I changed the focus from beginning with the end in mind to beginning with the why in mind, which empowers us and inspires us to focus on the journey, to enjoy the journey that's important, and manage expectations and reward effort. So there's never a destination. It's continuous education. It's physical fitness. It's not a physical goal. I'm going to lose 20 pounds because then we gain 30 back in the process of celebrating that we lost 20.
You know? So true.
It's deeper spirituality. It's ongoing emotional stability. It's financial literacy. It's social networking. It's family togetherness. It's recreation. And it's charitable giving. So we need to do something every single day to move our needle up just a little bit in all aspects of our lives. And in order for us to do that, we have to hang around with the right people. We become the average of the five people we associate with the most, which means if you hang around with five broke people, you're going to become the sixth. If you hang around with five negative, whining, blaming, complaining people, you're going to become the sixth. If you have horses, when you put a hard-to-catch horse in the same field as an easy-to-catch horse, most of the time you end up with two hard-to-catch horses. When you put a healthy child in the same room as a sick child, most of the time you end up with two sick children. Moral of the story. To be disciplined, healthy, and significant, we must be willing to pay any price and travel any distance to associate with extraordinary human beings, even online on a podcast. And if you think about it, if we're willing to associate with extraordinary human beings, we have to reverse engineer and make sure we understand that in order for us to attract extraordinary human beings, we must first be an extraordinary human being. And that's what motivates me. I don't have to be the best version of myself at the end of my life. I have to be the best version of myself right now. It's like ordering an Uber ride that requires that you enter in your current location. And if you lie about where you are, the directions won't work. So where are you right now? And if we can discipline ourselves and focus in on those nine aspects of life, again, physical fitness, continuous education, deeper spirituality, emotional stability, social networking, financial literacy, family togetherness, fun and recreation, and charitable giving. If we can make sure I have that balance wheel, you know, I talk about it in my book, The Art of Significance. You can find it on my website through my programs. But if we focus on all nine aspects of life, then we'll never be a multitasker. Too many people, it's a limiting belief. I'm a multitasker. Well, if you actually admit that you're a multitasker, you're admitting publicly that you're lousy at a lot of things. In law number 8 in my book, The Art of Significance, I talk about experience harmony instead of forcing work-life balance. And the analogy I use is that instead of saying I'm a multitasker, what we need to do is start thinking like a juggler. A juggler only controls the ball in his hand. Once he lets go of the ball, he's relinquished control, can't do anything about it, so why worry about it? So he or she needs to focus on what is important and what's in front of them, what's the priority right now. And when we can dissect our day into just focusing in on each of those 9 aspects of life, as long as we need to just move our needle one notch, one little teeny thing, put one more five pound plate on the bar in the gym, stay on that pre-core one more minute, exactly. You know, open up a holy book, open up some scriptures, open up a philosophy book, try to deepen your spirituality. Put yourself in the position of an emotionally distressed person and see if your current belief is deep enough, strong enough, and true enough to empower you to respond to rapid change. You know, your mom's still alive. Is your dad still alive?
Yep.
Hey, so your mom's still alive. Jessica told me that she actually liked our interview.
She loved it.
And I know that's amusing. But we need to ask ourselves, so if you're on your way to your speech and you get a phone call that your mom died, what are you going to do? That happened to me. You know, in football, the way we prepare for the upcoming game, the upcoming opposition, the team we're going to play against, is to spend the entire week watching them on film so that when they get in this formation, we know what's coming. They're going to run here. Or they're going to pass it over there. And we can cinch it up, show up to the, you know, line of scrimmage in a bad mood and basically say, I know what you're going to do because I've watched you so many times. I've put myself in that emotional position, that mental position, that situation so many times that I'm never blindsided by something that I'm not prepared for. Remember, when you're prepared, you shall not fear. We never rise to the occasion. We always fall to the level of our training. That's why we train and practice so hard.
Yep.
So ask yourself, what would you do if you were in a serious automobile accident and the person next to you was unconscious? Do you have enough first aid skills to administer first aid, to stop the bleeding, to give CPR? Crazy questions. If this happens to me, what am I going to do? If I was in a hospital and someone said, Dan, you just came out of surgery and you've got cancer, you know, whatever happened to your dad happened to my dad too. My dad battled for 6.5 years and it finally took his life. But if we can start putting ourselves in certain positions, we're only on the 4th area of life, emotional stability, so that I'm not blindsided. I'm on my way to give a speech in Seattle, Washington, when the phone rings my dad died at 7 a.m. this morning. And I had to make a decision. Do I believe that he's out of his cancer pain and in a better place? Doesn't matter if anybody else believes it, but if I believe that, and my mom's surrounded by my brothers and my sister and her siblings, I'll go speak. And that's what I did. That's what my dad would want me to do. I'm not going to leave a meeting planner with 3,500 people in the audience, 90-minute slot to fill and not have the speaker show. I'm going to keep my dad's good name intact. And then I spent the night and kept my commitment on Saturday. And then I hustled home to be with everybody. My dad died, I didn't. I've got to figure out how to rise to the occasion. And when I got to the end of my speech that day, I did say to the audience, I'd like to conclude with a song from one of my albums. And I told him the reason why I want to sing this little song is because my dad died this morning and it's the first time he's ever heard me sing it in public. And so again, I had to dig deeper than I'd ever dug and maybe sing the song better than I'd ever sung. And again, to my point, is your belief current, your current belief deep enough, strong enough, true enough to equip you to deal with rapid change? And if not, we got to have a talk because there's going to be another COVID. There's going to be another pandemic. If you're not failing a few times, it means you're not pushing yourself hard enough. And that's the whole inspirational gig you've got going here, Craig. People can tune in and they, you know, this podcast will be evergreen. And if you're pushing yourself and you fail and you fall, what are you going to do about it? Listen to your podcast. Let Craig coach you. Remind you about the simple things. The difference between good and great is just a little bit of extra effort. It's focus. I'm telling you what, man, the service that you provide all of us is so incredibly important. Craig, I love you. I honor you. I admire you because you have this ability to cut through the clutter and say, do this right now. I'm not talking about do this next Friday. Don't do this in January. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You're like, what are you going to do right now? And we can all do something right now. Let me share one of my favorite quotes.
Please don't stop.
actually, it's kind of an amalgamation of some of my best concoctions. Today, you've never been this old before. And today, you'll never be this young again. So right now matters, and every right now matters, which means no matter what your past has been, you have a spotless future, which means you can't always control what happens, but you can always control what happens next. Are you with me? Bye. So here's the question to all of the listeners today. Do you really believe that one moment in time can change you forever? Do you really believe that this podcast, one thing that we can talk about in a coaching call with Craig, that he can drop a bombshell, he can drop a nugget of wisdom, a golden egg that can change your stars forever? Do you really believe that one moment in time can change you forever? I do. Proof. I was on the program with Henry Winkler, the Fonzie from Happy Days, clearly one of the funniest guys I've ever met. He started a 1970s television sitcom called Happy Days, and he played the coolest guy who ever lived. He played the character of the Fonz. Hey, whoa. Tragedy. Tragedy. You got to be so many people on your podcast, so many followers of Craig, of you, who don't even know who I'm talking about. That's tragic. You need to Google him, the Fonzie Happy Days. He and I finished our speeches. He decides he wants to take some time off, treat himself to a matinee movie. So we slide in through the side exit door of the theater. And as we shuffle ourselves through the aisle, we find ourselves a couple of vacant seats. As we turn to sit down in the chairs to look up at the movie screen, the little girl sitting right behind us smiles this giant smile. She points her finger and she slowly says, Fonzie. Henry Winkler immediately snaps into the Fonzie character from Happy Days. Hey, whoa. And the lady sitting next to the little girl passes out. Henry Winkler milks the moment. Whoa, I thought this only happened on TV drama. Hey, how cool is this? Whoa. Then her manager comes out, takes care of the woman's needs. She's lying in the aisle. Cold pack on her forehead, she's asked one question. Why did you pass out? She said, my little girl is autistic. And that is the very first word she has ever spoken in her entire life.
Oh, my goodness.
We have to believe in the significance of time. So anybody watching, if you're in a management leadership position and you're perplexed on how you have to change your management style to accommodate millennials, Gen Xers, and we baby boomers, instead of talking about cultural diversity and what makes us different, the solution is to focus in on cultural commonality. What makes us the same? Same God who made you made me too. Which means time is the conversation that we're, it's the place in the conversation where we must begin. Because it's the one thing every age and generation has in common. The second place is training. It's mindset shift. It's everything that you do as a coach. It's everything that I'm trying to do. It's taking someone's belief and expanding it to what it has the potential to be, the higher, most complete, truest truth, if you will. So we've got to focus in on training and education. And if we do, it takes care of racism and sexism. It takes care of classism. And apparently, according to the news, we have so much social injustice in our country. And I'm looking around going, you know what? I don't have one racist friend, because if they were racist, they wouldn't be my friends.
What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action. Drop in gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to cultivatelastingsymphony.com and then bang, enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig?
And so let's just put it into perspective, my friends, as far as training and education and qualification that has nothing to do with race, gender, or class distinction. And let me use the analogy of flying an airplane. I fly a couple of 100,000 miles a year on usually Delta Airlines because I live in Utah and it's our Western hub and it's the greatest airline on the planet.
Of course you do.
But I've flown all the fighter jets in the Air Force and all the bombers. I've been up into space, as you said, in a U-2. Do you realize, everybody needs to remember this, do you realize when you walk into a cockpit of any aircraft, when you climb into the cockpit of any bomber or any fighter jet, you can be male, female, black, brown, or white, and the jet does not care. Any questions? I just want to know, are you qualified, trained, and educated? Are you passionate, creative, and imaginative? Do you have enough guts? Do you have enough personal courage to take that jet and go Mach 2 twice the speed of sound, catching 9.4 Gs? I have so many times. We have to be qualified. Instead of calling that race card or that gender card, and yes, there's some legitimate beefs, we know that. There's no place for racism or sexism in any company, in any organization, or especially in America, the greatest country on our planet. But let's focus in on how to really fix it, and that's through education, commitment to family. No other success can compensate for failure in the home. Let's do whatever we know how to do to keep two parents in the household. Divorce is hard, but so is marriage hard. Let's make a choice. Let's do the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do. I got to take a breath. Ask me another question.
To be honest with you, I've never had a guest on the podcast go that long on one rant. I didn't want it to stop.
That's so funny.
First of all, going back to the Fon story, I mean, that pun, I didn't see that coming. That was awesome. Like that gave me the chills. I legitimately got goosebumps. Obviously, the way you deliver it, but also the point of the story, unbelievable. And just everything that you just said, especially with, like, doesn't matter what color, what gender, anything in the fighter, like, right? In the fighter jet, are you educated? Like, do you have the courage? All that. It's 100% accurate.
And I mean, you're running the New York Marathon. That photo of the scar, the stitches in the bottom of your foot. So many people would say, see, I can't do that. And instead you're going, see, I can do that. Just a shift in attitude and mind and not just practicing what you preach or preaching only what you practice. And that's so cool. That's so noble.
Perspective.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's critical. You know, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. If I was in your studio back there in New York today and we were looking out a window and we were looking at the same lashing rainstorm and there were some people in your office, in your studio, and one person said, what a horrible day. And obviously you said, oh no, what a wonderful day. The weather did not change. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So once you get the man right, the world is right. Once you get the woman right, the world is right. And that's what we need to do to fix and heal America.
Yeah. And I actually had that conversation with somebody today. Literally talk about alignment, about the weather. And I was like, it's actually a beautiful day. We don't usually have, you know, high 50s
on Halloween. So it's actually a blessing, and I'm excited to run this weather, but it's so true. Perspective is everything, and happiness is an inside job.
Yep, I agree. Which means we can't compete against others, because we'll always find someone who's bigger, faster, stronger, smarter, yeah, more successful, more money, cooler car, cooler house.
Yeah.
Let's stop competing against others and just try to be the very best version of ourselves. As my dad said, you're going to make a lousy somebody else.
Yeah. Two things real quick. Number one, I already have the name of this episode down pat. So there's that. It's the golden egg. Number two, we're going to have to get you back for a sequel so we could talk about the whole background story. Right now, this is too good and too juicy. So we're just going to continue with this momentum. One thing that you said, Dan, which I absolutely love, and I think the audience needs to hear this, is the purpose of a leader is to grow more leaders, not more followers. How significant is that?
Yeah, the purpose of a leader is to grow more leaders who believe what you believe, so they lead with and without a title, not generate more followers. So think about it in terms of being a parent. So the purpose of a parent is to prepare our children for a world they recognize. And the world in which we live is not everybody gets a participation trophy. It's competitive. There will be losers and winners. And you're not a loser if you don't win. You're a loser if you don't participate. So you got to fire up and get involved. But at the same time, if we parent by saying, you do it because I said so, fear motivation doesn't work. And bonus motivation doesn't work, because if you run out of money, the motivation stops. So the goal of a parent is to make sure our children buy into the same belief and why that we do, that it's their why that shares our why. It's not dad's why. It's not Craig's why. It's the why that I subscribe to, that our children subscribe to. And when the why is bigger than the why not, and it's our why, it's our belief, and we share that belief with the leadership, we share that belief with parents, we share that belief with our coaches and our teachers, the most important part of that whole equation is that when the child leaves your home, they're going to make the right decisions regardless if we're there or not. We empower them to be leaders with and without a title. So now you put that into the perspective of a sports team. Once the game starts, the coach is stuck on the sidelines. Somebody has to make a play on the football field. Somebody has to make a play on the basketball court or on the baseball diamond.
That's right.
And regardless of how good the manager or the parent or the coach or the leader in the corporation is, execution boils down to who on the floor, who in the trenches, who on the manufacturing floor, who is going to step up and make that play.
This is awesome.
And that's why we've got to make sure everybody agrees with what we're saying. So let me give you a formula.
Please.
And your listeners, it's worth writing down. Every culture is created between the strongest belief, the highest expectation, and the best behavior that the leader lives by. And the weakest belief, the lowest expectation, and the worst behavior that the leader tolerates. So when you create any culture, it's created between the two operative words, belief and what you're not willing to tolerate. And as we shrink that distance between belief, expectation, and best behavior, and what we're not willing to tolerate, as we shrink that distance, we create what I call significant partner leaders who lead with and without a title and validate that the purpose of a leader is to grow more leaders who believe what you believe, not generate more followers. And that formula works in the home. It works as a solopreneur, as an entrepreneur. It works in family-owned businesses. You think about a family-owned business. What do they tolerate? Johnny, he can come to work whenever he wants. He's always late, takes two-hour lunches, demands a raise every year, even though revenues don't warrant it. And national statistics indicate that family-owned businesses, 85% of family-owned businesses go bankrupt by the third generation.
Really?
And the reason why is because that generation, they do not buy into the same attitudes, the same core values that grandpa and grandma did, based on vision and sacrifice and work ethic and service before self and doing what is required. It is not enough to say, I will do my best. We must succeed in doing that which is necessary.
Yeah.
By the third generation, when they become complacent and don't buy into those beliefs, they go from opportunity to entitlement, silver spoon in their mouth.
Yep.
And everything falls apart. Engine, you know, drives off the tracks, and everybody suffers in bankruptcy and oblivion.
Yep.
So at some point, we've really got to understand culture and take every precaution to create the culture that we need it to be, so that when someone walks into our space, into our homes, into our office, onto our team, they know we celebrate the social graces of please and thank you and kindness. They know that we don't allow any racism, no sexism. We don't allow any gossip. Be true to those who are not present. Don't badmouth someone who's not here, because the second you leave, everybody's going to wonder and worry about what people are saying behind your back. Trust is so critically important. We have to create our culture. And once we do, in our home, we didn't allow vulgarity. We didn't allow smoking and drinking. And it wasn't because we were prudish. It wasn't because we were self-righteous. We just wanted to make sure everybody knew when they came into our home, non-judgmental friendship, unconditional love, and it was guaranteed to be a safe place where we could talk openly. They felt our love and concern. And it was crazy how, you know, now after all these years, our four children have grown up and moved out of the house. We're empty nesters, and we see their friends all the time. And when they come back into town, they come to our home randomly. 10 o'clock at night, we'll get a knock on the door. It's one of my son's buddies from high school all those years ago. Hey, and our friends were our children's friends and their parents, because our home was different. It wasn't prudish, not self-righteous. It was because we took it seriously, the power that we have to create our own culture. We can't control what happens outside of our home. We can't control what happens outside of our offices or outside of our team. When that athlete walks into that locker room and the coach and the ownership and the management has set that standard, mutual respect and support, no derogatory statements. We're here to win. We're here to love. We're here to support. That's how you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's not about T-E-A-M, together, everyone achieves more. It's about F-A-M-I-L-Y, family, forget about me, I love you.
Ooh, my goodness. Dynamic Dan's got gold. And I love that you ended with family, because that's what CLS is. It's a family. It's not a community. It's a family. And also, everything that you just touched upon segues into this, which you always say is, you're not always going to be motivated. That's why you always must be disciplined. And it starts with the culture, right? Like the belief system, the core values, the message that you send the world. And it's why everyone still comes to your house. And I love this.
And if you're out in a park, this is a great story that I share in my Law Number One in Art of Significance, Achieving the Level Beyond Success, my flagship book. Highest law of the universe is obedience. And the universe, when I was up in space, I landed after 5 hours. Remember Sir Richard Branson and Bezos, they go up from launch to landing. Their entire mission is 10 to 11 minutes long. And they see the curvature of the earth for 1 minute. I was up there for 5 hours. Not as high as they were, but I was, you know, I witnessed the curvature of the earth, gazing into the endless blackness of the universe, pondering eternity for 5 hours. And that changed my entire life. But what it did is it changed it up-leveled my motivation to study and learn about the organization of the universe. There's direct order. And if you disagree, watch the movie Hidden Figures, celebrating the life of Katherine Johnson, who was that human computer working for NASA.
Phenomenal film.
And the movie was all about launching John Glenn, astronaut John Glenn, into seven orbits in his Mercury spacecraft around the Earth and then returning him back to Earth safely. And the smartest minds in the world, the head chief scientists, played by actor Kevin Costner, they couldn't figure out the mathematical equation required to bring John Glenn through the atmosphere without him ricocheting off into outer space. And Katherine Johnson, in this powerful scene, she remembered Euler's, E-U-L-E-R-S, Euler's theorem. He was a 17th century Swiss mathematician. And he's the one that created the algorithm, the mathematical equation that allows two moving objects going in opposite directions to somehow coordinate their energy and whatever they needed to do. And it was that mathematical equation that turned on, that lit up the bells and whistles. And everybody in that room, especially the head chief scientist played by Kevin Costner, they said, "That's it. That's it. That's the solution." And Kevin Costner said, "That's old math." And the actress playing Katherine Johnson said, "No, it's right math." That equation had always been part of the organization of the universe. We just have to figure out what they are. So obviously, obedience is the highest law of the universe, and it's the first law illuminated in my book, The Art of Significance. Because the universe was organized by a set of laws, and let me just quickly cut to the chase, which means you need to learn them first, but if you learn and then obey that specific law, you reap that specific reward. But if you disobey that specific law, you will suffer that specific consequence. So we can list all the laws of the universe that we're familiar with. Law of gravity, the law of resonance, which is energy and vibration, which is the law of attraction, the law of mathematics, the law of relativity, Einstein, the law of the harvest, we reap only that which we sow, the law of progression. We know all of those, but you think about it. Regardless if you believe the law of gravity or even know it exists, if you disobey it and step off a building, you die. So obedience is the highest and first law of the universe, and all other laws and rules are governed by it. So when you understand that, think about this story. A father is in a park with his little boy. They're flying a kite. Kite's way up in the blue, cloudless, windy sky. And dad says to his little guy, "Hey, what holds the kite up in the sky?" His son says, "The wind." His dad says, "The wind doesn't hold the kite up. The string holds the kite up." And his son says, "Daddy, the string doesn't hold the kite up. The string holds the kite down." And his dad smiles and says, "If you think so, let go of the string." Little guy lets go of the string. And what happens? The kite flutters in the sky. And then the winds of change blow that kite, control that kite, and take it wherever the wind decides to take it. And now the little guy is frustrated. He starts chasing the string all over the park. He finally catches it, steps on it, grabs it, holds tightly onto the string. And what happens to the kite? It once again climbs into the blue, cloudless, windy sky and becomes what it was meant to be, a kite. Now, let's break it down. The kite represents our dreams, our goals, our desired results, our projected outcome. We want this kind of a relationship with our significant other or spouse. We want to be this kind of a parent. We want to be this kind of a teammate. We want to be this kind of a friend, a neighbor. We want to be this kind of a leader. We want to be this kind of a coach. It does not matter what you plug and play into that kite. That's what you want. And the wind represents the opposition in all things. You have to have darkness to appreciate the light. You have to have sickness to appreciate health. You have to have death to appreciate the sanctity of life. You have to have justice to appreciate mercy. And because the master organizer is a man of faith, I refer to him as God, because there's an organization in the universe and every single person was born into this world with the ability to choose left or right, free will agency, right or wrong, whatever. We were given a conscience. Every person born in this world was given a conscience. If you disagree, ask any teenager, if you had you for a child, would you be nervous? And they all like, "Oh my gosh, I wouldn't let me go out. I'd be grounded since DNA. We all know what's right and wrong." inherently we know what's good or bad. We just know. Truth from error. And if every person born in this world was born with a conscience, that means our conscience will never fail as only our desire to follow it decreases as we continue to do the wrong thing. So think about it this way, Craig, and all of your followers. If all of us were in your office in New York and we exited your beautiful studio, your office, and we entered another room that stunk so bad, it was so repulsive that our eyes started to water and our noses started to bleed, and we all kicked into automatic gag reflex. Do you realize if we stayed in that smelly, stinky room for 5 minutes, it would no longer smell? We would have been desensitized, and it would become the new normal. Has that not happened to us in the last 12 to 18 months during COVID-19 with the fake news? And everybody's so excited to rush back to normal. And I'm like, hold on, what part of normal is worth rushing back to? Let's eliminate the smells and stinkiness in our society, walk on higher ground to bring us full circle to where we began this podcast, and start associating with people who we invite into our culture, who believe what we believe, who share that same high expectation and commitment to the best version, the best behavior we can, and then start itemizing what we're not willing to tolerate and shrink that distance to create that significant partner leadership, that culture where we're all inspired to be the best version of ourselves.
Yep.
So back to my parable of the kite, when the little guy lets go of the string, that represents he's succumbed to the temptations of the world. He's succumbed to the fake news. He's succumbed to negative buddies who are in his life saying, let go of the string. You don't have to go to the gym today. It's cold. You can take a 2-hour lunch. Nobody's holding you accountable. Oh, wait, you're working from home. Now there's no boss to actually have you punch in and punch out. It has to be on personal integrity. So now the little kid has succumbed to let go of the string. We all have those people in our lives. Once he starts chasing the string, it represents his conscience just kicked in. I should have never listened to that guy who said, let go of the string. I should have never drank and drunk. I should have never got drunk and then driven. I should have always had a designated driver. Woe me, I should have never stepped out on my wife. I should have never, blah, blah, blah. The conscience kicks in. And then when he grabs onto that string, the string represents every rule, every governing principle, every one of the 12 highest universal laws that I illuminate in my book, The Art of Significance. And he now holds tightly onto that string, representing his new commitment to obeying the universal laws, doing the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do. And then the good news is this. He learns two fundamental principles. You should never obey his dad. And that's not slamming our dads under the bus, throwing them under the bus. What we have to do is say, here's the law. Here's the universal law. Here's the truth. And because my dad is obeying that truth and living by it, and now I am going to obey and live by that same law, we're looking at the law and committing to obeying the law, not each other, because eventually someone in our lives is going to let us down. You know, people stop going to church or synagogue because the priest or the bishop or the rabbi says something that offends them. And it's not about the rabbi or the priest or the bishop. It's about their relationship with heaven. Stop bringing these people into it. Let's talk about the law. And then the best part about it is we've all made mistakes. We've all let go of the string. And the best news of all is no matter how many times we've screwed up, no matter how many times we've let go of the string, we can always catch it again. That's why the last of the 12 laws in my book, The Art of Significance, is forgiveness, beginning with forgiving ourselves so that we're in a mindset and heart set to forgive others. Again, sorry I went on for so long, but the parable of the kite, I think, is pretty powerful because we can each look at our lives and say, okay, what's going wrong? Is it the lack of a mighty, powerful, passionate dream? Is the opposition in our lives getting in our way? People are talking us out of being an entrepreneur, talking us out of taking that risk, talking us out of going to the gym. Is it our lack of obedience and discipline to obey and hold on to the string? What part of that parable of the kite is broken right now that we can scratch where it itches and fix it?
I know what you're thinking. Can one cultivate a bulletproof mindset? or do they have to be born with it? The answer is as follows. We create our own reality. Want to develop and acquire the mindset techniques to completely revamp your mind, alter your perspective, see opportunities where you once saw limitations, tap into all your potential, and cultivate confidence on command? CLS Universe. I bring to you for the first time ever, once in a lifetime, the entire Moonshot Masterpiece Experience online course, jam-packed with all the tools and strategies I use to launch CLS into another stratosphere, filled with modules, worksheets, how to tangibly transform into the 2.0 version of yourself and display your gifts to the world. Very simple. Go to CultivateLastingSymphony.com, tap programs, and then bang, begin your moonshot today. Let's stop acting like we're going to live twice. Thank me later. You dig? No, I think it's very powerful. And also, it goes back to something else you often say, like, it's not about is the glass half empty or full. It's refillable.
Yes, sir. Right? Yep, absolutely. I love it when you quote me. And then you do it with that New York accent, and then you end with that giant, you know, Abercrombie model smile. This is good, baby.
I'm obsessed with you. And this is just the beginning. Where are we taking this act right now, me and you? Where are we going with this thing? There's no limits.
Well, you know, I haven't gotten into the details of my football injury, but I was paralyzed for 14 months. And when I recovered, and I look back now, in direct answer to your question, Craig, we've all heard growing up that things happen for a reason. But in my experience, you know, I had cancer when I was 8. And I've had some crazy experiences, you know, around the Olympic torture and the Olympic committee, blah, blah, blah. But I was paralyzed playing football. Then I almost died in the hospital over Christmas, 7.5 days with COVID. I stopped breathing. It was so bad. And then I ruptured my blood vessels in my vocal cords and had to have vocal surgery on June 25th. That's why I still sound like a 1-900 number. So I've had these ups and downs in my life. But now as I look back on every single one of them, let's acknowledge four things that I actually posted on my Monday. I always call it Master of the Morning, Own the Day. Every Monday I post.
That's it.
On Instagram, my little 5-minute video. Hopefully you'll follow me on Dan Clark Speak.
You hear that, audience? Put him in right now and follow him. He's got some of the best content and the best lessons.
Yeah, and I just posted, you know, the four things. I was just, this lashing rainstorm ended and I'm out on the deck of my home in the mountains of Utah. And what occurred to me are four realities that tie into this question and this answer that we're talking about. Number one, storms are part of life. You have to first acknowledge that. And that is part of the ecosystem of mortality. Number two, rainbows always follow rain. Every rainstorm eventually is going to end, so get over it. Number three, instead of being so fearful and anxious to run away from the storm, why not learn to dance in the rain? And then number four, if you're riding the roller coaster of life and it rains on your ride, remember the only person who gets injured is the one who jumps out. So what we have to understand is what I've learned from my football injury that is the actual answer to your question. My football injury is clearly one of the best things that ever happened to me. Don't misunderstand. My injury, my paralysis for 14 months, was not one of the best things that ever happened to me. But who I became as a man and what I learned about time and priorities and relationships as a result of going through that setback clearly makes it one of the best things that ever happened, which means things happen for a reason, but it's our responsibility to determine what that reason is. And Craig and I, we met in Las Vegas with his amazing assistant, Jessica, and there was something weird, something cool.
Magical.
Something magical where we had instant chemistry. And even though you and Jess were leaving early, we still had that connection. And then we made that immediate commitment. Let's follow up immediately. Let's find out what we're supposed to do. So the answer to your question is, we're supposed to do something bigger than we've ever done by ourselves. We don't know what it is yet, but because you don't begin with the end in mind, you begin with the why in mind, we're going to find it.
Yes, we are.
And the coolest thing about your tribe and your subscribers and your followers, Craig, is that as we figure it out how to do something larger than we've ever done, we invite everyone within the sound of our voices, within the influence of our coaching and our speaking and our writing, to join with us with the belief that when the water in the lake goes up, all the boats rise together. And that's what's so intriguing about your interview style, about your, you know, just your id, you know, your it factor. You got it all. And so what you do is you inspire others to say, wait a minute, if Craig's doing it, I know I can do it too. It might take me a little longer. It might be harder. When you're running the New York Marathon with scar tissue on your foot, big, everybody needs to Google that. My gosh, it looks painful. You're not out there to set a world's record. You're out there to be the best version of yourself and run in honor of, you know, cancer research and all the things that are important to you. And when we can take a leaf out of your book and just say, wait a minute, we all have the capacity to do exactly what you're doing. Maybe not more, maybe not less, but we can do what Craig Siegel does. We can do what you are inspiring us to do. And I would hope that people believe that about me.
And
that's what
will.
The goal is to figure out how to surround ourselves with people who don't say you can't. They say, I think we're going to figure this out.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. I mean, you get the smile on my face, forget about it. I need a surgeon to surgically remove it. So much love for you and so much respect. And I got to tell you, when you speak, I just want to like grab my popcorn and a journal and just take notes and just enjoy the ride, because it's just such a great ride. And there's so much juicy like nuggets that you could take away that you can apply to any life situation. And you have such a gift for that. And I personally got so much out of it. I know the millions of people that are downloading this podcast are going to as well. So with that being said, how can they all support you, Dan? What's something cool and exciting that you have going on now? And where can they catch up with you? Are you on social media?
Yeah, that's kind of you, brother. I want to put everything into perspective. If money ever becomes the topic of conversation, it means the presentation is weak and the relationship is non-existent. So if Craig and I can ever, you know, entice you, empower you, inspire you to choose us as your coach, I want to throw my hat in that ring. So my website's danclark.com. You can snoop around, watch a few videos, go to meet Dan, see who I've met, see what floats my boat. In Meet Dan, you can actually click on the YouTube documentary. It's only 15 minutes long, and I had to dumb it down because going up into space in a U-2 reconnaissance aircraft is still a classified mission. So there it says over 70,000 feet, and you can see my video camera. I was in the cockpit. I was with my commander in the aircraft. But you can see the altimeter whipping by 70,000. We went way higher than that, 5-hour sortie. But that's something amusing. You can go to my music page, and I've got some gold records, but I got some great songs that would amuse you. Had I shot you when I met you, I'd be out of jail by now. That'll bring a tear to your eye.
Yeah.
My wife ran off with my best friend and I'm going to miss him dearly. That's a popular song around divorce courts.
Before we wrap up today, do you want to leave us with a tune?
No, listen to my throat, man. I don't want you to think I'm Kenny Rogers. I got to get out of shape, man. I got some good songs. I'm proud of those, but you can go to my music page. What I would suggest is that you click at the top of my homepage on danclark.com. I've got a library. I've got all my books. I've got training. They can, you know, if you really want to become a great storyteller and learn how to be a better presenter and public speaker, which is the secret to climbing the leadership ladder. It's the secret to creating your own value ladder, the secret to sales. I could entice you, empower you, inspire you to look into my public speaking course. It's all video called Speak Like a Pro. And you can sign up for coaching calls with me. I can take you to the next level. But Craig and I, we've already talked about putting together some live events. And it would be so fun to invite you to a mastermind. I do one on storytelling, story selling. I do one on public speaking that can turn into writing your own book. I'm just so passionate about getting the message out. And if I can help you in any way, shape, or form, I would challenge you to do so. Please follow me on Instagram, Dan Clark Speak, not Speaks, with an S, not Speaker, with an ER. It's just Dan Clark Speak.
You dig? Just Dan Clark Speak.
Yeah, just Dan Clark Speak. And you can watch my Master of the Morning, Own the Day, these little five-minute videos I release every Monday. Tuesday is usually a quote, one of my quotes. Wednesday is a book report I call Wednesday Wisdom. I've read one book a week for the last 16 and a half years. Really proud of that. I'm trying to encourage people to do so. Thursday, it's usually a picture with a celebrity and what I learned from that celebrity, not just, hey, look at me. It's not a photo shoot. I have a relationship with every one of these people where I wouldn't feel comfortable putting them on my social media, but I share what I learned. And then because I have a twisted sense of humor, I have Friday Funnies, where one of my 37 books is a joke book, clean humor with a message that you can all use in your presentations or just give you a good chuckle to kind of kickstart your weekend. Friday Funnies, only on Instagram. Again, Dan Clark Speak. I sound like I'm working at Walmart trying to greet people.
No.
They're saying, hey, buy that blue light.
No, you sound great. And let me just be clear, like the amount of gems that you gave us, say you're pouring into us and the audience right now. But what you just mentioned so like nonchalantly is you've been reading a book a week for 16 audience. Think about that for a second. That's what he does to invest in himself to get knowledge so that he can digest it, learn it and make it applicable for everybody else. I mean, you got to do that. Like you got to put in the work. And it's a journey, this thing called life. Like, even Dan, like he has so much experience, but I'm sure there's some stuff he could learn from me. Like there's, it never stops. That's the beauty of it.
Yep. And I appreciate that. You know, I have a podcast that I'm launching that you're helping me with. Craig's the genius at every level. I can't compliment you enough. The official launch date for my podcast, it's called wherever you find your podcast, wherever you stream your podcast, it's called Power Players with Dan Clark. So I'm obviously going to have Craig on as a guest, and Dave Meltzer and a few of your guests that you've had. And the whole goal in my podcast is to identify those who have got a story, have had a struggle, who overcame the obstacles, but then they got themselves in a position where they could give back to lift others up and make sure that everybody leaves us saying, I like me best when I'm with you. I want to see you again. So that podcast should be launched in the next little bit. I have no idea when this podcast will air, so I'm not quoting the date so that this podcast is still evergreen.
We're going to bump it up for sure.
Check it out, Dan Clark. It's called Power Players with Dan Clark. Download some of the interviews, if you would, and subscribe. And look for some huge things as I support Craig Siegel. You're my guy, my new hero, my mentor. It's crazy how much I admire you, and that's the word. Anybody can love somebody. You always flippantly use, yeah, I respect you. But I think the unique word is admire. You know, when this kid came to my house and made the appointment to ask for my daughter's hand in marriage, we're kind of a traditional family. You know, he's a little nervous and I'm flipping him crap. You know, we're having a good laugh. Finally, I dropped the bomb. I said, so tell me why you want to marry my daughter. And he didn't even pause. He just said, I admire her. And I'm like, that's it. Bam.
Bang.
Bam. Just, you know, now I got to go get a night job and a paper out to afford this stupid wedding. But congratulations. Good for you.
Yeah. And that's a good word.
I don't use that word lightly, and I admire you so much at every level, buddy. I can't wait to just keep doing things and not just do one huge thing over the top, but just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. And I'll have a New York Marathon experience every day in one of those nine aspects of life that inspires others to do the same.
Yeah. And I know you don't throw that word around lightly, and I admire you right back, and I adore you, and you're a mentor to me, and I look forward to all the things to come. This was an incredible episode. We're going to bump it on. And in regards to the podcast, the website, everything you have going on, we're going to put in the show notes. Thank you so much, just genuinely, for your time today, Dan. And I just want to say, you're the definition of resilience, grit, heart, empathy, and experience. Your mindset and gift for storytelling is on a whole other level. You've touched the lives of billions and are making the world a better place. You say it best. Any male can be a father, but it takes a special man to be a dad. You're a role model and a beacon of hope for anyone coming up today with big goals and aspirations. I can personally guarantee your best is yet to come. You have my word right here, right now. This is just the beginning of our special relationship. You know how much love and respect I have for you. Thank you so much for your gems today, Dan.
Thank you, Craig. And I can't wait to interview you on my podcast so that I can learn from you. I feel like I bogarted the whole conversation and just flat my jaw without breath, but it'll be your turn soon. And I can't wait to just milk you too, baby. So thanks for having me. My best to Jess, my best to everyone in your family and everyone in your life whom I have not met yet. But like you said, you're a family and I feel like I'm part of it and you're part of mine. So together we rise, baby.
Together we rise. And you're not off the hot seat yet. We're going to get you back for a sequel and I'm going to pour into you. But you are family. So much love and respect to you. And the best part about all this is just the appetizer, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Craig. You have a great day. My best to all of you. I hope you'll keep in touch with me.
Oh, we will. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, man.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.